Now a lot of college students are back in the dorms getting used to cafeteria food, maybe ordering the occasional takeout or putting a frozen burrito in the microwave. What do you do when the cafeteria is closed and you want a home-cooked meal? You don't have a kitchen, so you can't really cook anything, right? Well, wrong. It's so wrong that our next guest actually wrote a book on how to do it. And even if you're not in college or have kids in college, who wouldn't love quick, easy, and reasonably healthy meals without creating a big mess? That's the focus on this week's edition of Food Friday. You can join in at 800-642-1234. If you were in a college dorm at some point in your life, did you have a go-to favorite thing to cook using whatever materials and tools were at hand? If you've just moved in, what's the hardest part about not having access to a kitchen? If you've ever, because of traveling or because of a tough home situation, had a situation where you had not much to work with to cook, what did you do? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Sarah Long is the author of College Cooking 101, Fast Food Without a Kitchen. Incidentally, she's also the Chief Financial Officer and Assistant Secretary for the West Virginia Department of Administration. Sarah, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me on your show.
Well, you were inspired by sending your own kid to college and trying to figure out what they could cook. Could you share some of that story?
Sure. When my daughter went away to school, I was really surprised when I got the call that she did not like the cafeteria food. Not only did she not like it, but she said there was no way she was going for breakfast because it was in the opposite direction of her classes. So to get up, she'd have to get up really early to go to the cafeteria, stand in line, and then have to walk in the opposite direction for her classes. So I knew that I was going to have to send her some recipes and help her be able to cook in her room, which was really a challenge because there's no stove and no oven in an average dorm room.
And I understand you went out to buy the book on the topic that was going to solve everything for your daughter. But there was just one problem. There was no book.
That was exactly right. I went where I always go to solve problems, which was Amazon, and could not find a book of how do you cook in a dorm room without the use of a kitchen.
What, as you started to pull together recipes, and we'll get into some specific recipes and the different tools, but what were the key things that had to be in a recipe to include it in your book here?
Well, first of all, you have to think about what does a college student have access to? What do you have access to in a dorm room? Most college students have a Keurig, so they have a hot water source. Most college students have access to a microwave and a blender. My daughter was allowed to have a toaster. So you have to think about what can I do with what I have and then frame the recipes and what you're going to cook around what you have access to.
And what I learned looking through your book is take that microwave. There's a lot more that we could do in a microwave than I thought. How versatile can we be with our little microwave?
Right. Very versatile. And I think you'd be surprised on how good some of this food is in the microwave. Eggs, for example, are wonderful in the microwave. And when you cook them in a mug, they come out in a circle, which is great for taking them on the go. Put them in an English muffin or on a bagel, and it's just the perfect shape to take with you.
Well, you just led us right into one of the recipes you've shared with us, the Western omelet in a mug. And we've got this up at WPR.org/Food Friday. Tell us about this mug-made Western omelet in our microwave.
So this is really designed for my son. He loves having eggs for breakfast and having that protein. So his favorite is a Western omelet where you put ham and green pepper, a tablespoon of each of those in a mug with an egg and some grated cheddar cheese. Put it in the microwave for 30 seconds, stir it, and then put it in the microwave for another 30 seconds, and then you have the perfect omelet to take with you on the go.
Now, a big part of cooking is cleaning up afterward, and your average dorm might not have a sink in it at all. You might be headed over to the bathroom sink to clean things out. Does this mug clean up pretty easy with these new eggs in it?
Yes. And I, you know, I definitely recommend cooking spray, though. If you're going to cook in a mug, definitely spray that with some cooking spray so that it comes out. And, you know, interestingly enough, my son, who just went away to college, who is actually was pretty decent in the kitchen. But, you know, these kids don't really know how to do a whole lot. And he said, how do I wash a spoon? That was his question. He's so used to putting things in the dishwasher.
Oh, okay.
So I had to walk, you know, you have to like walk them through how to do everything.
This is your college challenge. Figure out how to take a spoon that's dirty and come up with a method to make it clean. I love it. We're talking to Sarah Long about her new book, College Cooking 101, Fast Food Without a Kitchen. Advice for cooking with the basic tools, a microwave or maybe a hot pot or you name it, toaster, oven. Is this you? Did you just drop off a kid? I just dropped off two over the last couple of weeks for their first year. 800-642-1234. Or have you ever been in a situation where you had to make do with limited cooking resources? What worked for you? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. And Sarah, you get a lot of mileage out of a mug in a microwave. I think there's a cake in there or two, right?
Yes. Yes, and pizza, too. Pizza in the microwave.
Yeah, this one amazed me. Can you tell us a little bit about that? Because you're actually mixing the flour and baking soda and whatnot in the mug?
Yes, I'm big on trying to eat as clean as possible and not using a lot of box mixes. And so my kids want pizza. I want to try to keep, you know, put the flour in there and the baking powder. And let's try to make it taste like scratch. And it really does make it taste really, really good.
Now, are you aiming to help your kids and anybody else who reads the book just skip the meal plan on campus entirely? Or is this kind of like supplementing and augmenting that you're aiming for here?
Definitely supplementing. I wouldn't recommend going cold turkey, particularly at the beginning. And I think most college students, you know, they just want to do this to supplement when they're really hungry, or maybe they're not going to have breakfast, or maybe one meal. I definitely would say keep the college cafeteria, but maybe go a little bit more bare bones than getting unlimited meals, which is always more expensive.
Now, you mentioned we've been focusing on the microwave so far. You mentioned those Keurig style things. People usually make them, make coffee in them or tea. What other things are you saying we can do to actually cook with those dudes? I don't have one. I've never used one, so I don't know.
So there's so many things you can make in a Keurig. Of course, you know, coffee and tea, you know, you buy those pods in the grocery store. But, you know, hot chocolate, your Keurig, if you don't put the pods that you purchase, if you just, you can just run water through it and it becomes a hot water source. So you can make hot chocolate, you can make sweet tea, you know, you brew tea and then add sugar or honey to it and make sweet tea, oatmeal, mashed potatoes, Jell-O. I mean, there's a ton of things you can make. Just remember that you have that as a hot water source.
Welcome back to Food Friday. We're focusing this week on cooking in dorms or any other space where you don't really have access to a full-on kitchen. Sarah Long stays with us, author of the book College Cooking 101, Fast Food Without a Kitchen. She wrote the book as a part of the solution for a problem for her own kids in college. You can join in at 800-642-1234. If you've been there, limited gear and supplies to make food, how did you solve that problem? What creative cooking advice would you share? Or do you have a question for our guest, maybe for yourself in a dorm or the kid you just dropped off? Call 800-642-1234 or email ideas@wpr.org. Let's go to our callers now. Mark is with us in Bloomer. Mark, hello.
Hey, I have a friend, and unfortunately he did some pretty hard time on the inside of prison. And when he got out, he had some pretty crazy and creative ideas on how they made their own meals. And you know, I'm thinking there's some correlation and similarities when you don't have access to stuff.
Do you, Mark, do you have an example, one thing that he might have shared with you?
Oh, boy. Like, creative things with crackers and cheese in a can.
All right, Mark, thanks a lot for sharing that. Well, I don't know if college students like the jail or the prison comparison, Sarah. But, I mean, I could see your book being useful not just for college students, but for anyone who temporarily or long-term has limited availability to full-on kitchen gear.
Right. I've had people say they've used it in assisted living, or if they were in a hotel room for a mm-hmm. few days, they brought it with them. So definitely there's other uses for it.
Thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234. We'll go to Becky now in Iota, Minnesota. Becky, hi.
Hi.
What do you want to tell us about, Becky?
So when I was in college, and this was 22 years ago, Tupperware made a gadget, and it's called a sat cooker. And I lived my whole entire college career out of a sat cooker, and we cooked in the microwave. We could cook whole meals, whole dishes, a whole chicken in the microwave in this thing.
Wow. And what was the name? I didn't quite catch that, Becky.
It's called the Tupperware Stack Cooker.
Stack Cooker. Awesome. Thank you so much, Becky. Yeah. Do you have thoughts, Sarah, on that kind of accessory for the microwave cooking?
You know, I was actually, my book was actually in Food and Wine magazine online, and it was just over that, you know, that there's a lot more microwave cooking gadgets coming out right now. That's a really big thing. There's a real big resurgence of microwave cookware. So it's interesting that you bring that up.
Awesome. Thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. We'll go to Valerie now in Osseo. Valerie, hi.
Hello?
Valerie, hi, you're on the air. What did you want to tell us about?
Hi, I just wanted to mention I travel for work anywhere from 50 to 90% of the time.
Wow.
And I was looking for a way to eat a little healthier than having to rely on restaurant meals, which tend to be pretty heavy and huge portions. And so I did a little bit of research and figured out how I could cook some more balanced meals in the microwave. And so some of my kind of go-to tricks are I travel with a glass dish and some microwavable plates that I can use in the microwave, safe in the microwave, and a little bit of cling wrap. And so when I arrive at my destination, I usually just run to the grocery store. I purchase some vegetable that looks good, like asparagus or broccoli. That's really easy to steam in the microwave if you just cut it into uniform-sized pieces, put a little bit of water in the bottom of the dish, cover it with cling wrap, and then just cook it for like 30-second intervals until it just as done as you like it with a fork. And I've even, of course, there's always the go-to baked potato, which is easy to do and can be a good healthy source of carbs as long as you don't load it down with like butter and sour cream and that. And then I've even figured out how to do like lobster tails in the
wow.
microwave, which is pretty easy to do, really good. Same kind of basic approach. Put it in the glass dish, a little bit of water in the bottom, and just cut the shells, pull the lobster meat out and lay it on top of the shell, cover it with cling wrap, and then cook it for like in a minute intervals until the fish is no longer opaque and it's done but not overdone.
Valerie, thanks so much for sharing that. You should open a pop-up restaurant wherever you go in your work travels. Thanks for that call. But that reminds me something I didn't ask you about, Sarah. Part of your goal isn't just, you know, quick and easy cooking. It's also to have healthy alternatives instead of the microwave burrito or the fast food run.
Right. I mean, because we all want our kids to eat a little healthier than calling Instacart or DoorDash and having them bring fast food to their dorm. So yeah, that was the whole point of the book is let's try to eat a little, like just like your last caller was saying. I love that she's cooking vegetables in the microwave. I mean, that's exactly what we want our kids to do is try to eat a little more basic, a little cleaner than what you would do if you just ate out at a restaurant all the time.
Valerie, thanks so much for sharing that with us at 800-642-1234. Talking to Sarah Long on this edition of Food Friday. She's the author of College Cooking 101, Fast Food Without a Kitchen. Back to your calls now. Jan is with us in Waukesha. Jan, hi.
Hi there. I am calling because I just discovered the Fasta Pasta by Rachel Ray. or I guess you could call it the Faster Pasta.
And that's a, was that a product brand that you can buy?
Yes, I got mine on Amazon. I just found out about it from my sister who lives in another state. It's a rectangular, microwavable, plastic but no BPH container, and it comes with directions for cooking pasta, anything from spaghetti to lasagna to fresh ravioli to frozen ravioli. You put the product in, you add as much water as it says, you cook it as long as necessary. I cooked angel hair pasta, and it took 7 minutes. And the top has a sieve on the end of it, so you just hold it and tip it, and all the water comes out. You don't need to boil a big pot of water, and you don't need to have a colander.
Wow, awesome. I love it, Sarah. Do you have? I think you've got some pasta in your cookbook.
I do. Penne pasta, and you can also make mac and cheese, both of those in a mug. But I love the Rachel Ray thing that you're talking about. That sounds really cool, too.
Awesome. Thanks for the suggestion, Jan. We'll go next to Jess with us in Milwaukee. Jess, hello.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. What's on your menu?
Well, cooking on an iron with aluminum foil.
So like an iron, like I'd iron my clothes with, that kind of iron?
Yes, like an iron you iron your clothes with. If you put a little, you know, fold aluminum foil, you can almost make a little pan or a dish out of it. Put some butter on there so it doesn't stick. You can almost fry anything you can think of, from grilled cheese to skillet dishes and even some meat. And the good thing is, with the aluminum foil, because it cools down so easily, a lot of times you can just wrap the aluminum foil around whatever you cooked and take it with you.
Awesome. That is creative. I want to go home and try this now, Sarah. Have you gone to that extreme, cook it with the iron?
You know, I have seen that on YouTube, and that is probably a little too scary for me. I don't think I'm going to try that.
I want you just to say that I've done it. Thanks for the suggestion, Jess. Time for one more caller. Mark is with us in Madison. Mark, hi.
Hello.
Hi. What do you want to share with us, Mark?
Yeah, I was more of the MASH unit of eating back in the 70s in college. My roommates and I existed pretty much on Hamburger Helper, dry box mac and cheese with peas, and if we had any money, we'd buy a can of tuna and a pack of smoky links cut up in barbecue beans, canned beans. And whenever anybody went home to visit the parents, whatever we could steal from our parents was always really good.
Mark, thanks a lot for sharing those memories with us. Sarah, do you get that from your kids, a little kitchen raid when they head home?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes, all the time.
All right. In our last minute or so, Sarah, we focused a lot on the microwave. If people had to get one more piece of equipment for their dorm, what would you say is the next thing that's the most versatile for cooking?
I love a blender, and I have never heard of a dorm room that would not allow a blender. It's always allowed, and because you can make things on the go, you know, throw some almond milk in the blender with some fruit, maybe some Greek yogurt, and you have a meal. So I love a blender, too.
I love it. Sarah, we'll leave it there. Thanks so much for joining us today. I appreciate it.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
Sarah Long is the Chief Financial Officer and Assistant Secretary for the West Virginia Department of Administration. We talked with her on Food Friday, though, about her new book. It's called College Cooking 101, Fast Food Without a Kitchen. And we've got two of her easy recipes posted at WPR.org/Food Friday. We talked earlier about that Western omelet in a mug. That's a microwave recipe. She just mentioned the blender, too. And we've got a recipe you can throw in the blender, a peanut butter and jelly smoothie. It's got frozen fruit in it, but yeah, some peanut butter, I guess, for a little bit of protein in there. You can check them out, send them on to your kids in college, if any. Let us know how they turned out over on the Ideas Network Facebook page. And while you're there, you can let us know your favorite easy things, maybe a favorite dorm room memory of your own or for your kids. That's over on the Ideas Network Facebook page, or tweet us at Central Time WPR.